Blessing, good song, appreciate that. And we are in Proverbs chapter 1. We had a wonderful senior trip with the seniors of Berean Baptist Academy, had a great time last week, and but boy, we sure miss being here, and I'm just really excited about being back. I hate to be gone. I'm not gone very much, but with twice in April, that's probably the first time since I've been here. Well, other than right when we first came, but very, very few Sundays do I miss, and we did miss it. We missed being here. Had the privilege of preaching at Landmark Baptist in Haines City, Dr. Mickey Carter's church, and had a good time there, but it's just not the same. And so it is good to be back and good to see each and every one of you here. Proverbs 1, in verse 20, and really the title of the message, the first three words, wisdom crieth without. And I want to talk to you about that, this whole passage, and really much of the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. You know, Solomon, he could have had anything he wanted, and he asked God for wisdom. And it ended up being a very wise thing to ask for. Amen? Because he got everything. I mean, he couldn't ask for anything better. He couldn't have got more than what he had. And so I'm amazed as I read this that wisdom cries to you and I. I mean, it just seems like you and I would be the one saying, hey, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to do something wrong. I want to make right decisions. I want wisdom, and I need wisdom. And yet, wisdom's crying to you and I. And so let's pray, and I'll begin. Father, thank you again for all that you do for us. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for the services. Thank you for this church, these dear people. I pray you'll take these next few minutes and use the scripture to help us. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I go back to the book of Genesis, and one of the saddest stories, I've said this many times before, is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They have the perfect environment. Couldn't have it any better. God has proven that He always gives good gifts, and He always gives good things. And Adam and Eve had it made. They had it perfect. But as you know, every day they spent time with God. They walked with God. They talked with God. I mean, they had a perfect situation. And, of course, sin entered into their lives. They chose to sin. And, by the way, it is our choice. You know, the truth is you don't have to sin. I don't have to sin, but we do choose to sin. And there's always a result of sin. There's always something that happens because of our sin. And with them, immediately they recognized they were sinners, and they did the strangest thing. They hid from God. And the saddest, I think one of the saddest things, and as I think about it, it certainly makes me think of myself. As Adam and Eve are cowering in the bushes and the trees when God comes to their regular scheduled appointment, and God has to call for Adam. Adam! Where are you? Adam! Eve! Come on, let's meet, let's fellowship. And they're hiding, and of course God knew that they were hiding, and He knew why. He knows why you hide, and He knows why that takes place as well. And I, as I think about this passage, wisdom crieth without, I think about how God called out to Adam and Eve. Adam, you messed up, but I'm still here. I still love you. Adam, I want to talk to you. Adam, I want to fellowship with you. Adam, I know what you've done. Adam, I love you. And I think about how wisdom cries the same way to you and I. Wisdom cries out to you and I. Wisdom crieth without. And God, who is wisdom, calls out to us. Aren't you tired of making wrong decisions? Aren't you tired of doing things the world's way? Aren't you tired of listening to the world and the world's philosophy? And aren't you tired of messing up your life? Won't you choose me, says wisdom. Won't you walk away from the world's wisdom and choose God's wisdom? You know, life's full of choices. We just finished up the NFL draft, and these people have to, you know, teams have to choose their players and all of that. And as I read about that in the paper, I thought about when we were little, and they were choosing up teams. You know how you'd try to get in front. So choose me, choose me, choose me. And I thought about wisdom doing that. It's sad, isn't it, that wisdom, God's wisdom, would have to even stand in the same line as the world's wisdom and man's wisdom and the sinners who entice thee. It's too bad. It's hard to imagine they're even in the same category. But I see wisdom, God's wisdom, saying, hey, choose me, choose me. You know, any Wednesday night, if we ask for volunteers, Vacation Bible School, if we ask for volunteers, there's dozens of hands going up. Ooh. You know, last year we ended up letting somebody up on the platform that was raising. Hey, Willie Worm, I believe was his name, and we finally let him come up. We regretted that ever since. But but I mean, it's so obvious. Hey, choose. You know, it's sad that God would have to even be in that crowd where he would have to say, "Hey, choose me, choose my wisdom." Wisdom crieth without. And that's how I see wisdom. I see wisdom in this crowd saying, "Hey, won't you listen to me?" I see wisdom in a crowd like verse 10. I made reference to this. Notice verse 10 right before this. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." If sinners entice thee. What's that mean? That means sinners are saying, "Hey, choose me. Choose me. Choose my way." By the way, this passage talks about joining those sinners and it being a snare and a trap and it leading in destruction. And by the way, it always will. I mean, why do you suppose wisdom is crying? Why do you suppose wisdom is so loud? Why do you suppose wisdom is so vocal? Because it always leads in sorrow and pain and death for the person who chooses anything but God's wisdom. It never ends good. It's not possible. And I think about God's wisdom crying out, "Choose me. Choose me over the sinners who entice thee. Choose me over sin," which we like. Are you listening? We like. I mean, our flesh likes sin, so naturally that choice is within the crowd that God's wisdom is saying, "Hey, choose me." You know, choosing God's wisdom over the world and the world's wisdom and the world's wisdom, which is opposite of God's wisdom. "Choose me," God says. "Choose my wisdom," God says. And you see, all of these, this crowd is after our choice, and we make the choice. It's up to you and I to decide. It's up to you and I which one will we choose. God's wisdom is in a crowd, and sad to say, we've allowed that to happen. It shouldn't even be any kind of a choice like that. It should be automatic that we as God's people would just say, "God, I want your wisdom." Every morning it ought to start that way. "God, I want your wisdom. Give me your wisdom, God." Every day ought to start. The middle of the night if God wakes you up, "God, help me to have your wisdom." It ought to happen during the day. It ought to be part of our lives. We shouldn't even let the other crowd be involved. And yet, boy, it's wisdom crieth without. They're all after our choice. Let me give you three things this morning about this that I think will help you. Number one is wisdom's cry. Wisdom's cry. Ultimately, God is crying out for you to choose His wisdom. God's wisdom. Ultimately, it is His wisdom. Ephesians 3:10 says, "The manifold wisdom of God." I talked about this in my Sunday school class and talked about how God is eternal. And therefore, everything about God, everything that the Bible says is God's, it's eternal. God's wisdom is eternal wisdom. It's amazing that we would, you know, that we would even consider, "Well, Aristotle was wise." Yeah, Aristotle was wise in however many years old he was. But God's wisdom is eternal. It's amazing we would find somebody that writes a book, for example, say, wow, that person is really wise. And that we would even think to compare that with God, whose wisdom has always been, it is perfect, it is manifold wisdom of God. And it's His. God's wisdom is supernatural. Listen to me now. Stay with me here. It's supernatural. It is miraculous. It is God's wisdom. It is awesome, God's wisdom. You see, there are lots of kinds of wisdom out there. God's wisdom is supernatural. God's wisdom is miraculous. There's wisdom from experience. We have folks in this room who say, you know, I've done this for years, and they have some wisdom about that because they have experience in that. There is wisdom from age, and thank God for elderly folks who have been there and done that, and they have some wisdom that is due them because of age. But again, let me explain to you about God Almighty, who has always been God Almighty, who has known everything and who knows everything, not only in eternity past, but God Almighty, who knows all things in eternity future. Why in the world would He have to cry out to us, choose my wisdom? It ought to be us who says, I gotta have that wisdom. It just is amazing. There's lots of kinds of wisdom. Understand, it's not, wisdom is not knowledge, but it's what to do with knowledge, how to interpret the knowledge that you have. And really, for this morning, maybe the best way to understand God's wisdom and what I'm talking about is, how can I make a right decision? How can I make a right decision? God says, I'll help you with that. Choose my wisdom. God says, hey, choose my wisdom. And wisdom cries out to us. What do you do? Look at verse 23. And I'm kind of jumping out of order here, but look at verse 23. And it kind of explains a little bit. He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, here's what he says about his wisdom. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. His spirit is our guide. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. The Holy Spirit's a guide. How else can we know what? I mean, we're talking about decisions. I'm talking about every day I make who knows how many decisions. I mean, decision after decision. Rob Pickenpaul came in, what'd you spend? 3 hours with me the other day talking about our website. And I mean, he's saying, okay, what do you want to do about this? What do you want to do about this? What do you want to do about this? Guess what? I don't have a clue what I want to do about anything except for the fact that in the morning, very, very early, I said, oh God, please give me your wisdom. What's that mean? He pours out his spirit upon me, and his spirit guides me into the truth and guides me and teaches me and shows me. Because his words are truth. You take God's spirit and the truth and you put that together. Guess what? You're going to make right decisions. You are going to make right decisions. God, I really want the truth. I don't want opinions. Man can give a lot of opinions. I want the truth, God. And I want you to guide me to that truth. And I want you to take that truth, and I want you to show me in my heart what is the truth. And wisdom is crying out, don't you want that? I'll give you that. By the way, it's God's wisdom. It's supernatural. It's His Spirit. It's His Word. Both are supernatural. Both are miraculous. Both are not something man can produce. And by the way, that's what Solomon chose. That's what Solomon chose. He said, God, I want that wisdom. We read the Bible and we read, boy, how did Solomon figure that out? I got news for you. Solomon didn't figure it out. It was God's wisdom. How'd Solomon come up with that? God. How'd he think up that? He didn't. God showed him. Because his spirit was the guide, and his spirit guided him into the truth. And he always does. And he always will. I'm frustrated when people say, I really want to do right, but but they don't ask God for His wisdom. Because in reality, we don't really want to do right, we just want to do what we want to do. You know, making the right decisions in life. God says it's your choice. God says you can choose my miraculous wisdom and you should not settle for anything else. We should never settle for anything else. And God has His wise people crying for Him. Oh, He really does. And their cry is, hey, choose wisdom. It happens at Berean Baptist Church all the time. It happens in master clubs. Hey, young people, choose wisdom. Choose God's wisdom. It happens at RU on Friday nights. And Brother Nixon stands and he says, hey, folks, you have problems. You made wrong choices. Time to choose one who will help you to make the right choices. Choose God's wisdom. It happens in our bus ministry. Choose God's wisdom. It happens with evangelists that cry it out. And the pastor cries it out. And Sunday school teachers cry it out. And Brother Varnum cries it out. And parents cry it out. And we always cry out for God. Choose God's wisdom. Don't try to do this on your own. Don't listen to the world's wisdom. Choose God's wisdom. And you'll notice where the cry goes. In verse 20 it says, she uttereth her voice in the streets. That's among everybody. That's among the poor. Out in the streets. That's among the homeless. That's, by the way, if anybody needs help with wisdom, I would think it would be someone who's homeless. I would think it'd be someone who's poor. I would think it'd be someone who has lots of needs, who maybe has not made very good decisions in the past. Hello? He says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Verse 21, she crieth in the chief place of concourse. Guess what? That's among the wealthy merchants. I mean, wisdom saying to the wealthy, hey, I know you've got all the money and I know you got it going for you, but you need God's wisdom to keep going. You need God's wisdom to know what to do with that responsibility, that money that you have. In the openings of the gates, what's that? That's where the rulers of the city sit. And if anything America needs today, it's God's wisdom. If there's anything that our politicians need today, it's wisdom from God Almighty. Because I'm telling you, the world's in a mess. And I'm excited that it might be the fact that Jesus is coming back soon. But oh, we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom in the openings of the gates. In the city, the Bible says, that's everybody. That's to all. Everybody needs the wisdom of God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your plans are. You need the wisdom of God. Look at Matthew 10, verse 27. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. Wisdom keeps yelling out, choose me. God's wisdom. He says, choose godly wisdom. Choose my wisdom. It's available to you. Matthew 10 and verse 27. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And I'm telling you, God's not trying to hide it. God said, hey, choose my wisdom. You're a Sunday school teacher here. You ought to do everything you can to get your class to understand they need the wisdom of God. If you're involved in a ministry here and you influence people and you have a say, you need to be crying out, choose God's wisdom. Everybody else cries out. The sinners are enticing. The world is enticing. Television is enticing. False religion is enticing. The cults are enticing. The Islamites are enticing. I mean, all over this world, the enticement is to, hey, choose me. Hey, somebody better speak up for godly wisdom. And say, choose God's wisdom. God's wisdom will never, never let you down. Isaiah 45, 19, he says, I have not spoken in secret. God said, I want it to be known. I want you to have my wisdom. God says, I want it to be known. I want it to be out in the open. Hey, you need God's wisdom. And it's available to you. Wisdom's cry is a loud cry. And it's a cry to everyone. A cry to all. Every person. I've not spoken. By the way, truth never has reason to hide. Amen. Truth isn't afraid to be found out because it's the truth. Truth isn't hiding anywhere. We shouldn't hide the truth. All can make right decisions. And we need to preach that. Everybody can make right decisions. Nobody has to keep continually messing up their life. We need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom so we can make the right decisions. Here in Proverbs, and all through the book of Proverbs, we learn of the simple, the scornful, and the foolish, and the wise. And we're talking about this on Wednesday nights, talking about the people of Proverbs, and we have spent, I don't know how many weeks now, on the fools. Talking about foolish person. And I mean verse after verse after verse after verse describing the foolish person. And I think after all these weeks, it seems that probably any child would be able to say, you know what, the foolish person is headed for trouble. I mean, I think it's obvious to see that. There's no question about that. And yet, in Proverbs, we have those groups of people. The wise have God's wisdom. They know right. They know the right decisions. Now, they may not always do the right thing, but they know because God's wisdom shows them that. And when they don't do the right thing necessarily, they make a bad choice, they know they need to get right with God. That's a wise person. That is a wise person. You're here today and you seek the wisdom of God and you messed up, then get it right with God and move forward and keep going forward, because that's what we're supposed to do, is go forward. That's a wise person. The simple don't know. They just don't know. The simple in the Bible, they simply don't know. But in our text here it says, the simple, how long ye simple ones will you love simplicity. In other words, you're simple, you don't know, but how long are you, how long are you going to love not knowing? In other words, I don't want to know. I like things the way they are. I call that willful ignorance. And it's going to ruin your life. So many people are simple and they're on their way to hell. And they don't want to know. You knock on their door, hey, if I could show you today how you can know for sure you're going to heaven, would you listen? And they look at you like, no, I don't want to know. Well, do you know how to get to heaven? No, and I don't care. Now, that could be a simple person. Could be a fool as well. But they don't care. I don't want to know. Simple. There are a lot of simple Christians who don't want to know because they don't want to change their life. Are you listening? They don't want to know. You start preaching about separation. You start preaching about soul winning. Start preaching on things where it may change us. We may have to change our lives. And we say, no. I don't want to know that. How many new converts? You know, people say, where are all your new converts? Well, you know, they came and they found out they needed to get baptized. I don't necessarily want that. And they found some little Burger King place to go. Amen. And again, you say, oh, you know, well, did they really mean it? I want to know, do you really mean it? Because you haven't changed a whole lot either. Do you want to know? God, I want your wisdom. By the way, when you want God's wisdom, he's going to show you things. He'll show you the truth, because that is the truth. That's what wisdom is. Pour out my spirit, I'll make known my words. What else? I mean, that's what it is. But we come to church, we're not expecting. We come to church, we're not listening. We come to church because you just go to church. I'm talking about simple Christians. Don't really want anything to happen. Don't really want anything to change in their life. Then there's the scornful. They're the rejectors. They reject the truth. They don't want it. Don't want the truth. And they delight in their scorning, the Bible says. The scornful person, liberals, I would call liberals scorners. You know, they're religious, but they mock salvation. They make fun of our salvation. They mock it. I think about Christian scorners. They'll mock soul winning. They'll mock separation. They'll make fun of those that are trying to do right. What a pity. What a miserable existence. But again, it's somebody who's rejected. I don't want your wisdom, God. Because it might change something in my life. And then there's the foolish. And the Bible says about them that they hate knowledge. They're so wrapped up in themselves. Humanism's like that. Humanism says man has all knowledge. Man is the measure of all things. Therefore, they hate anything that contradicts that. And Romans talks about that in Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Yeah. You know, they hate knowledge. Well, God's wisdom is going to give you knowledge. It's going to give you the truth. And you know, the fact of the matter is, some of us don't really want the truth. That's why we seek, so many times, we seek counselors that are going to tell us what we want to hear. You know when I get nervous? I always get nervous when people who are seeking counsel avoid me. Hello? I get nervous about that because I think, why would they avoid me? I get nervous when people seeking counsel, they avoid spiritual leaders. Somebody say amen, or I'm going to come down there and amen myself, and it's going to add 20 minutes to the message, plus it'll probably cause an asthma attack. You know, listen, I'm talking about God's wisdom, which is supernatural. I'm not talking about man-made anything. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm not talking about worldly ideas like what's gonna make me the most money. That's not in godly wisdom. Now, there may be a result of more money. It was with Solomon, but his decision was not, God, I want your wisdom so I can be rich. It was, God, I want your wisdom so I can make the right decisions and help people with the right decisions. And then God gave him the money. The world says, find out how you can make more money. The world says, find out how you can learn more. That's not necessarily godly wisdom. I remember when I surrendered to preach and said I was going to Bible college, I don't know how many people came to me. There were two Bible colleges in our area, but none of them were independent fundamental Baptists at all. They were very liberal, very wishy-washy, but they were higher learning institutions. Marion College and Taylor University, which now I think have all become a conglomerate of Indiana Wesleyan or something, I don't know. But anyway, and I don't know how many people said, well, you'll get better academics. Are y'all listening to me? They say you'll get better academics there. You will learn a whole lot more. But I want to learn the truth. I don't want more. I want the truth. I can give you all kinds of more, but really, godly wisdom is going to introduce me to the truth, and the Spirit is going to guide me in that truth, and I'm going to be able to make right decisions then. I'm enjoying myself. You know, I can still remember. So many. Well, you're going to go to college, but there, you know, you could get more if you went here. And even my dad said, well, go to a secular college. Dad, God's called me to preach. You know? By the way, there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, the Bible says, but it's, you know, we need to look at the spirituality of our counselors. Good illustration. My dad was one of my counselors. He was unsaved. Did he counsel me in spiritual things? Well, he might have thought he was, but I didn't listen because he was unspiritual. Hello? He wasn't saved. Did he counsel me in finances? Yes, he did. Did he counsel me in character? Sure, he did. Did he counsel me in things like that? He did, and I listened to him in so many areas I could listen to him. But when it came to spiritual decisions, I didn't ask my dad. Because, he may have offered his opinion, but he wasn't even saved. He couldn't understand spiritual things. I mean, come on. We all know that there are people that will tell us anything we want to hear. We know that. I guarantee I could get out on the street and find out and interview enough people and just kind of look at the crowd. Okay, I could go outside of any tavern and ask, hey, what do you think about drinking liquor?
I think it's a great idea. Can you give me $5?
Hello? I could find enough people. I could find people on the streets that'll tell me adultery is okay. I can find enough people to tell me homosexuality is all right. But see, I don't want permission. There's a huge difference. I want God's wisdom. God, your Spirit guiding me into the truth is what I want. And that's what I need because I'm a dummy. I can't make decisions on my own because I'm carnal. I'm flesh, and God, I'm going to mess up. You know what? Every fleshly, carnal decision that you and I have ever made, we messed up. And it cost us. Wisdom's cry. Isn't it? See, I say all that, and it seems almost crazy that, hey, choose me! seems like it just would be automatic, doesn't it? You know, over here's the world and worldliness and wickedness, and over here's liberalism and denying the deity of Christ, and right in here is do your own thing, and over here's feel good, and you know, all this stuff, and in the middle, you know, out there trying to get your attention. Hey! God's saying, choose my wisdom. Doesn't even seem like it ought to be like that way, does it? In the midst of that crowd. Wisdom's cry. Number two is wisdom's cost. Wisdom's cost. You say, boy, God's wisdom must have a huge price tag. Must be unbelievable what I would have to do to get it. James 1, verse 5. Keep your place in Proverbs. Go to James 1 and verse 5. You know, we are so proud. I'm talking about Christians today that we miss this often. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, pretty much that'd be most of us, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That's not talking liberal as in a liberal religion. That's talking about as much as you need. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Notice two things. Ask, giveth. Had somebody arguing with me recently. Well, you know, you gotta go to college to get wisdom. There isn't a college anywhere that offers wisdom. Not God's wisdom. Now you can get some wisdom, but it's worldly, it's man's wisdom. Again, I mentioned experience gives some wisdom, and age gives some wisdom, and studying, I suppose, you can gain a little bit of wisdom. But that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about, I want to make the right decisions. I want supernatural wisdom, and here's how to get it. Ask, and God giveth. And what is the price tag? It's just like salvation. There is none. For you to pay. You just have to choose it. And he gives liberally, that means as much as you need. That means, that's why I don't know of anything I ask for more during a day than God's wisdom. I don't know of anything. Very rarely, and there have been times I've said, God, I've got a bill that needs to be paid, and I need your help on that. And so I have at times asked God for finances, and certainly as a pastor of a church, I've asked God for finances for our church, especially after last week's offering. But I don't even ask that anywhere near as much, and that's obviously your fault. I don't think our tithe would cover that since we weren't here. But anyway, no, it's not his fault. But you know, I'm just saying. Somebody actually said, well, it was down because pastor wasn't here. And I think, where do you think I would get that kind of money to give that much? That's why so often, God, I got to have wisdom. Somebody will be standing outside my office, and I'll say, hold on, don't come in yet, because I stop and I say, God, they got problems, and I need your wisdom to help them, because I can't help them. If you had any clue of what your church members go through, if you had any idea, you would not even want to sit in my office some days. And I'm serious as I can be. If you had any idea what some of our people are going through. There's no way in this world I'm going to try to wing it on that. I can't. People say, Pastor, that was great advice you gave. And honestly, I get on my face before God and say, God, I don't even have any idea where that came from. I think I'll use it. But see, that's supernatural wisdom. That's Solomon. With two mothers fighting over whose baby is theirs. That's Solomon saying, give me a sword. We'll divide the baby. And the real mother says, wait, let her have it. Boy, Solomon's smart, isn't he? Yeah, Solomon's smart in one thing. He asked God for his wisdom. You need to be smart in that one thing where you say, God, The cost is, here it is. Here it is. Hey, choose me, wisdom says. God's wisdom says. You better choose him. Wisdom's cost. Number one, wisdom's cry. Number two, wisdom's cost. Number three is wisdom's command. Verse 23, wisdom's command is this: turn you at my reproof. Turn you at my reproof. Now again, his reproof is a miracle. His reproof is part of his wisdom. It's part of learning the truth. Hey, if you find out the truth and it keeps you and it makes you turn. I mean, how many times have I been driving? One time, my wife and I were driving in Atlanta, Georgia, in that area, and we were on an interstate. And I said, "Look, I'm going to take a nap." And she was driving, and so I fell asleep. And she's driving, and I woke up and I saw something that I couldn't believe. We're not in the right place. I said, "What in the world's going on?" She goes, "Honey, I think I followed the directions all right." And we were going, we were 50 miles south of where we were supposed to be. Now, I could have said, "Bless God, we're just going to keep going this way." But what did we do? We turned around and went the right way. Now, that's what wisdom does. And that's why so many don't want it. Because deep down, we want to do our own thing. That's why, are you listening? Wisdom has to be in that crowd and has to say, "Hey, choose me." And that's why the preacher has to yell it, and the youth director has to scream it, and parents have to teach it, and Sunday school teachers have to teach it, and Brother Nixon has to proclaim it. And it's why we have to keep doing it and keep doing it in the streets, in the concourse, in the gates. We have to keep doing it because the truth of the matter is we don't like that command of wisdom. Turn you at my reproof. When we're reproved, that means we're proven wrong. And we need to turn to what's right. And that's wise. Hello. When we're reproved, We're driving our bus route one time in Indiana, and it was foggy. You've heard the illustration before, and Brother D. Hess, one of my assistants, he says, "All right, let's go." And the driver stopped. He said, "Something's wrong." And Brother Ken, he said, "No," he said, we got to hurry. We got to, you know how bus routes are. You got to hurry. You got to be on time. Preacher gets mad. He does. And the driver said, "No," he said, "look," he said, something's wrong up there." He said, "You need to look." And so and Brother D. has got out and he walked up there, he looked, and sure enough, the road had literally deteriorated, and there was a sinkhole about 20 feet deep, and the bus was about to go into that. And they turned around. Why? Because they learned the truth. Are you listening? You say, "Well, preacher, it's obvious they should turn around." But see, that's why lives are a mess right now. Because that which is obvious, you never even saw because you chose another wisdom. Because God's wisdom would have shown you what was very obvious. But you didn't like it. Wisdom's command, turn you at my reproof. Because look what he says. He says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." That's what happens. See, here's what happens. God's wisdom, the world's wisdom, says that you're saved by doing good works. I mean, the world, very, very clearly, most people believe the way you go to heaven is by doing good works. Well, God says very clearly, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And very, very clearly, we have to turn from what we think is right and go with what God says is right. Or we're going to be lost. Christian asks God for wisdom. God reproves him with conviction. God reproves them as they read the Word. God reproves them in a church service. God reproves them in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, time to go a different way. And that's why so many don't choose God's wisdom. Are you listening? I mean, seriously, that is it. Wisdom's cry, wisdom's cost, wisdom's command. Number four is wisdom's course. Wisdom's course. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. And the last these last points are going to go very quick, so just hold on. Notice what it says in verse 10. I just couldn't leave this out because I got excited. When wisdom entereth into thine heart. Do you see it? How can I get this? It's free. You ask God. You choose it. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion, notice what it says, shall preserve thee. Would that help in your decisions? Understanding shall keep there is the idea of guarding. Would that help in your decision? Shall keep thee. Notice, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. I like to be delivered from folks like that. Amen. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. You know, immediately popped in my mind a young person marrying the wrong person. And wisdom would have delivered them from the sorrow and the pain and the hurt that they're going to go through. Godly wisdom would have kept them away from that. It would have delivered them. These whose ways are crooked, they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the death. Notice we're being delivered from all that. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of lives of life. I wish I could tell you of all the people that fit in that category when they rejected the wisdom of God. Notice what he says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. That's when wisdom enters in, you walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. That's wisdom's course. Why in the world wouldn't we choose that? Why wouldn't we choose that? Why does wisdom have to cry out about grab you and shake you? Hey! Choose God's wisdom. Why does Brother Varnum have to do that? Why does Brother Ballou have to do that on Friday nights? Why does Brother Nixon have to do that on Friday nights? Why do I in my office have to say, hey, young person, hey, adult, hey, mom and dad, why don't you choose God's wisdom? It just seems like we would all say, that's pretty much what I want. Number five is wisdom's correction. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye've set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. That is someone who says, I've chosen another wisdom. I've chosen another way. He says, wisdom says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear, by the way, please circle or underline the word when. In your Bible, because it is going to happen. It always does when we do not choose God's wisdom. And honestly, godly wisdom cannot believe we would choose the sinners that entice, that we would choose the sin that is our flesh, that we would choose anything but godly wisdom. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And that's wisdom's correction. Let me close with number six, and that is wisdom's comfort. And that's verse 33. We also talked about wisdom's course. But verse 33 says it all. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Safely. I make so many decisions. I make tons of decisions. You do too. Dwell safely. There's something about that. Safe in the decision. I make wild decisions sometimes. You know, by faith decisions. But I'm safe. Why are you safe? Because it was God's wisdom. It was His wisdom. Safely. Dwell safely. You ever spend the night where you're thinking you're not safe? You know, like this last week, tornado warnings. You're hearing about all the tornadoes that hit, and boy, it starts to thunder in the distance. You know what's coming, or maybe you know your lock is not good. There's been a bunch of burglaries in your area, and you sleep with kind of one eye open, which, by the way, you can't do it. And you're just every noise. You know you're looking around and everything. See, I like that. I like dwell safely. I know. Today, you know what? It's been a good day. I made a ton of decisions, and any one of them could my throat. But I feel really good about it because I begged God all day long for His wisdom. All day long. Not for permission to do what I want to do, but for His wisdom. So I would make the right decisions that I had to make. There is comfort in the right decisions. Dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Doesn't say evil's gone. It says from the fear of evil. That's the comfort that wisdom gives. That's the comfort in right decisions. When I left my job at RCA to go to Bible college, to be a preacher, people say, well, you left security, you left comfort. But in reality, it was all comfort. Now, was Bible college always comfortable? No, not at all. Has the ministry always been comfortable? Not even close. Not even close. But I have His comfort. Why? Because there's comfort in making wise, wisdom of God decisions. And I wish, I pray that everybody will hear that cry from God's wisdom. Choose me! I know that sinners are enticing you. The world is pulling at you. Your own flesh is after you. Choose God's wisdom. Let's bow our heads, please.